Services District meeting this great August 24th, 2016. Can I ask Celia for a roll call first?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Garrow?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. Karen, will you lead us in a flight salute?
Attention. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. How does the agenda look to everybody this evening? Lori, do you have your mic on?
Yes.
Okay, great. Does the agenda look all right?
We do have a modification to item 7B.
Okay.
And I think Ms. Cassiola will run through that real quick.
There was a $5 error in a miner's hardware check for $5, and you can see that on page 9 of 58. It was 142, it should be 147. And then the health benefits were listed, and those are related to our next payroll, and they will be on the next agenda.
Okay.
So at the appropriate time during the consent agenda, the recommendation is for modified.
Okay. So we're going to
consent agenda.
As amended or modified?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
I make a motion we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay. Celia, let's do a roll call on this one. Do we have to do a roll call on this one? Nope. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Passes. Great. Thank you. All right. Special presentations. Right now we're going to do public comment. These are for the public to come and speak on items that are not on the agenda tonight. So if anybody has items that are not on the agenda, this would be the time to get up and talk about them. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I am sorry that I didn't see any of you at last night's State Park EIR kickoff at the Ramona Gardens in Grover Beach yesterday. They are kicking off their environmental impact report for their dust control project associated with compliance with the Air Pollution Control District's Dust Rule 1001. There are two identified unavoidable impacts that the project will have to have overriding considerations to be able to build this project and explain through the CEQA process why these unavoidable impacts are going to take place. And where I think your board and you as individuals should be paying very close attention, one of the impacts is significant noise associated with rumble strips in the exit at Pier Avenue. So as the vehicles leave the beach, they will go over these metal, maybe concrete devices that knock the sand or shake the sand, the wet sand, off the vehicles and the undercarriages. We're talking 1,000 vehicles in a day, and this noise is significant. And I've heard it when you've gone to a construction site and you've seen the vehicles jiggle over that rumble strip all day and night long. This will be happening at Pier Avenue. There are million-dollar homes nearby. I think those neighbors should be made very aware that this is a component of the project that the State Parks has put forward, and the intention is to build it. But like this EIR, I'd like to see your board on record taking a stand, whatever it is, in the name of the district, in the name of the community. The other unavoidable impact is that 113 acres of riding area will be retired for vegetation implementation. So that's just the other one. But I'd like to see your board take a stand. You know, it's been maybe 6 months ago, but you gave direction to your general manager to put the Phillips 66 project on your agenda. For whatever reasons, that didn't happen. That project still continues to run down the rails and has a public process in front of it, and I would like to see your board on record in opposition to that project.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. And just for information, is the EIR available online now?
Can I give you the website?
Please.
Yeah.
ohv.parks.ca.gov/OHV-CEQA-notice will get you to the EIR. Okay?
Thank you.
You bet.
Is there anybody else who'd like to speak under public comment at this time? Okay, hearing none, we're going to close public comment and go on to our staff reports. Mr. Maricino, how are you this evening?
Good. Thank you.
Great.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. So we had samples, 9 work orders, 7 USAs, 6 customer service calls, continuing to replace meters and concrete them in. We had to repair another service at 2300 Cienega Space 12, which you're all aware of. It's that trailer park that we always do a handful a year due to the installation of it. State reports, cleaned lift station, baskets. Well 8 had a job walk, or not a job, basically a walk with some engineers regarding Well 8's engineer or Well 8's generator to get that rolling. It went very well. I'll be surplusing here in the near future the old generator so we can get that removed, get the pad ready to go for the new one. So I'm sure that you'll be seeing the old Well 8 generator for surplus here real soon.
He's looking at you, Karen.
Thank you. We had a camera, the sewer on Basin, due to a new development that's going in. It's going to be tying into our sewer main over there on Basin Street. It has a little bit of a high spot, so it's causing the flow to kind of reverse on one lateral to a home. So we also potholed that sewer main to get the elevations to turn it over to our district engineer and to get the street surveyed to find out. It's about 10 to 15 feet, roughly, could be less, of what we have to do to repair that section of sewer main. Then we asphalted the potholes back in. Snap cut asbestos pipe at the yard to get it ready for removal. We have quite a bit, so we'll get rid of that off our site. And then today, California Rural Water Association came out for leak detection. We spent all day doing leak detection. And the pipes that are identified in our master water plan, we let those be because those already need to get replaced. What we looked at were 6-inch, you know, kind of undersized, not too bad, but 6-inch mains that were 50-plus years old. And out of the 4,400 feet, we identified 2 leaks, one of them which is in our main, and one was actually going to a resident. It could pick up going to the house. Then we identified it with the meter with the constant little leak, so they will be notified. So very well, good learning experience, showing that our system is in pretty decent shape because everything was 50-plus years old that we were looking at out of the 4,400 feet. Thought we'd get more done, but it is what it is, and he offered to come back out later on this year and do another session of leak detection with everybody. It does take some time. It's equipment you set up on valves, and it keeps sending signals, and then when it pinpoints something, you got to go listen or verify that it's not a service lateral. So it does take a little bit of time. And that covers everything. Any questions?
Were you surprised when you only detected 2 leaks? I mean, did you anticipate more?
You know, I'm optimistic. I didn't, you know, I just want to see what the equipment can do and see what kind of shape. 6-inch mains,
lot of pressure.
I think they're holding up pretty good.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You know? But there's a lot of mains out there that are already identified that need to get replaced. 2-inch steel, 3-inch, 4-inch. So we went for the in-between.
Well, obviously, it creates, there's flow issues for the fire department and the hydrant service and such when you have the 2-inch and the smaller
mains
going in. And were you able to tell when you looked at the or detected the leak or any volume of water loss that's happening, or does it just tell you have a leak? I'm not familiar with the process, so I was wondering.
It identifies, it sends a Hertz signal anywhere from 200 to 750 is AC line, and it identifies and pinpoints where the leak's at. It's a constant sound, and then you physically go to the street and use a listening device. Without exposing it and seeing how bad the leak is, it can't give me an estimate of volume.
Okay. I was just wondering if it gave you a yellow, red, orange, blue kind of rereading, but you just identifies that there is an issue.
Yes.
Without telling you how serious.
And then later on, we can pothole the area that is identified and do the repair.
Thank you.
Yes.
I noticed the guys actually ran into each other about three or four times this last week. And I guess you're doing some kind of sewer maintenance around town?
Absolutely. That's an ongoing effort with the SSMP, Sewer mm-hmm. System Maintenance or Management Program. And we will, throughout the year, clean at least 15 miles, if not, hopefully try to get to the entire system.
Wow.
It just depends on the tasks that are at hand. Sometimes you got to stop sewer cleaning and take care of a water line that's leaking.
Right. You know.
So you will see them throughout the town with the Vector.
Yeah. Well, they're out there doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
Does anybody else have any questions besides me? No? Okay. Thanks,
Thank
Tony.
You.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Moving right along. Mr. Ogren, are you up? Are you up?
I am, Madam President. Paul Ogren, your general manager for my GM report update, and there's a number of items that, based on your request at the last meeting, I was going to cover. I'm going to start off with Lopez Reservoir storage projections.
Yes.
The question from the last meeting had been NCMA water usage. I inquired, but I don't have an update on the pumping numbers. I would expect that we should be able to have that for your next meeting, but we don't have everybody's pumping numbers yet, so I can't provide that. We know that the other agencies are increasing their pumping, and it's understandable because on the what I'm illustrating right now is the Lopez Reservoir levels. And as a little bit of a just sort of a quick overview then, where do we stand on Lopez and where might we be next year? So the solid green line right here, and this graph comes from the county, is current reservoir levels through around July 1st, and then what the green dash line is projecting what reservoir levels may likely be through the remainder of the year and into early 2017. Our Lopez water year is from April 1st of one year through March 31st of the following year. Their projections are based on the new State Water Board guidelines, which essentially are you have to look at what happened in the last 3 years in order to do projections into the future. So they're not projecting a lot of inflow because it didn't rain a lot in the last 3 years, and even though last year was better, it was still below normal. In addition, Lopez itself is slow to respond to rains. So in the first year that we get sizable rains, it's still going to saturate the watershed a lot. And, you know, we really are going to have to get a lot of rain to see it respond. So this is the county's projection based on expected draws from the reservoir for the municipalities and downstream releases where the reservoir level would be. Well, because of the low reservoir response plan, we have storage rights. And it's the lower dashed line then in here that shows after you subtract out water that's in storage already earmarked for the different agencies, then this is the amount of water that's in storage and has not yet been allocated. The very bottom is minimum pool, 4,000 acre feet. And the point here is that the amount of storage that hasn't been earmarked, this amount above and beyond minimum pool, which is only a few thousand acre feet, is roughly equivalent to what downstream releases are in a given year. So if there's even going to be enough water to make downstream releases for the Habitat Conservation Plan, the interim downstream release schedule is what they're operating under.
Are they 3 million gallons? What's the amount of the releases and the frequency?
It varies between 3 cubic feet per second and 6 cubic feet per second, depending on what conditions exist downstream. If the creek is flowing pretty well, then they can ramp it down. Also depends on if it's raining. So the guidelines underneath the interim downstream release schedule have multiple variables associated with them.
Okay.
But the basic idea is it's between 3 CFS and 6 CFS, as I best recall. Works out to about 3,500 or so acre feet per year. The amount that it has historically been assumed is up to 4,000, but it's a rare year that 4,000 acre feet is actually released downstream. So the discussions at the TAC that are coming up is that if we reach this point next year and there's not sufficient water for downstream releases, and yet that's an environmental requirement and it supersedes our deliveries to municipalities, is there going to be any Lopez allocations next year? And that's obviously a very big question mark. But are they going to be in a situation where they have to take back some of the water that's already been allocated to the agencies in order to meet downstream releases? So that's an open question at the TAC, and it's going to certainly be reviewed pretty closely in the coming months and through the wintertime, and it's going to make it onto the Zone 3 Advisory Committee's agenda. I think the important point we have to keep in mind is that in relationship to what our annual allocation is, we have a lot more water in storage than any of the other agencies. So if there's any take-back, we have to make sure it's in the same proportions that water is allocated to us, not in proportion to what's in storage. So we get about 6.69% of the water every year. So if there's any take-back, then the amount that's taken from us should not be more than 6.69%. With Arroyo Grande, it's about 50%, so if there's any take-back, then the theory is they should be providing 50% of that water. So it is a very tight situation, obviously, at Lopez, where all of the water, again, that is essentially available to municipalities has been allocated. We can't really anticipate that we'll have new allocations next year unless we have some really significant inflow into the reservoir.
Let me ask you, is our drought buffer transported into Lopez already, or that will be?
Okay, so that was another question. So the update on the drought buffer then is that the county will be processing the request in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
Your board's already authorized it, so that means that once we have the agreement and it's consistent with the agreements that have been adopted by all the other state water subcontractors, then your board president is authorized to sign based on prior board action and then can go on the Board of Supervisors agenda. And so last week I was contacted by the county and we said yeah, and we need that to move forward. The timing is not critical right now because it goes into effect on January 1st. So whether it gets on the Board of Supervisors agenda in September, October, November, or December, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
It just has to get done before January 1st. And then at that point in time, starting in 2017, depending on what the state water allocations are, we'll be able to start storing state water, but that would be in San Luis Reservoir.
Right, and that's leading into where my brain is going on all this, right, is if that reservoir gets to a crucial point where you can't draw down and process water, right,
mm-hmm.
Which it appears that, you know, we're at a very close crossroads for next year. I'd like Oceano to be able to pull down our water off the line because we're state water purveyors, and so our water wouldn't go near the reservoir except for what we've purchased through Lopez and the 6.9
so
and stuff.
So wanting to make sure that this is an update and we don't get into any board direction
for
staff, you can anticipate that You know, in the holiday season, we'll be coming back to your board with specific discussion items and recommendations on water utilization for 2017.
Great. Thank you.
Certainly. Another one that your board asked for a quick update was Prop 1 funding for disadvantaged communities. The guidelines came out in July. The state is pushing back submittals of proposals from like December to January. They've had a big backlog on grants. As we reported last meeting, we're not sure exactly where the city of San Luis Obispo is going to sit. There's some indication that they may withdraw, but that hasn't formally been communicated to the county. So I'll give you an update at the next meeting as well.
Well, I think if they were going to withdraw, they'd do it before December.
Yeah, or even earlier. So, you know, rough ballpark estimates of grants that will be available for Oceano is somewhere in the $140,000 to $190,000 range through that, which will then help move forward our waterline replacement efforts and help pay for some design work. So we don't know what the dollar amount is going to be yet, but hopefully we'll hear in the very near future.
Great.
I also wanted to touch on the solid waste management programs. And based on board direction, last meeting, we've been getting the word out that for cleanup week this year, or this September, countywide, it's the week of September 19th through 23rd. And for Oceano, it's Friday the 23rd. Cleanup week, as a reminder, is for all single-family residences. So the larger apartment buildings, that's single-family duplexes as well, but not commercial and not larger apartment buildings because they have different programs available for them. But in part of getting the word out, we've been making sure to tell everybody that your board acted that the $10 cost, if you call the garbage company, South County Sanitary Services, Inc., is being waived for all residents within Oceano. So we're coordinating with the garbage company, and we're going to be sending out like a postcard to all the single-family residences, and just want to make sure that that helps to kick off some of our new solid waste management programs. And did I see a question from Vice President White?
Does that also include Halcyon?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You need to tell people.
So this is the time where the rates that people have been paying and stuff, this is one of the benefits
yeah.
of being able to do this, is that refrigerator, that second-year energy that you got to get rid of, the washer and dryer that broke down 3 years ago, got to go.
That couch.
Yes, it's we've been coming up with different phrases. When the oldies but goodies become the oldie moldies, then it's time to get rid of them.
There you go.
Some of the research that Cody's been doing, we found out that Tempe, Arizona does an Adopt an Alley program as well.
They do.
Yeah, so he's been looking through their policies in order to start formulating some recommendations for your board. And Habitat for Humanity up in Montana has done a program that's called Rally in the Alley, in order to help promote some alley cleanups up there. So it's been kind of interesting to find other communities that are facing the same challenges and also trying to be proactive with their community in order to address the situation. So, So the last update is on the status of the audit. And as indicated to you at the last meeting, our timing is as it should be right now, which is that the auditors have provided us with the draft audit. We're looking through that. I need to finish my review of what they've provided. And on the pension changes, I've provided them with copies of all the journal entries that are based on the new guidelines on how to do financial accounting and reporting for pensions. As a reminder, the pension changes don't affect how we budget pensions,
correct,
but it's the financial statements on pensions. So I've provided those journal entries to the auditor, which completes all that technical work. Also made sure to copy the county auditor themselves, and they've provided me a little bit of feedback on the pension stuff as well, because obviously they've had to work on those adjustments. So
And that's pretty common right now. Almost all governments are working on that.
All throughout the country.
Right.
All local agencies are compliant with the new pension reporting requirement.
That's right.
So we finished our, again, Caliber has provided us with the draft audit, excluding the pension adjustments. I've provided them with the journal entries for the pension adjustments. So we're essentially where we indicated that we would be last. I also want to make, because there has been some public concerns expressed on the pension, the audit timing itself, I want to speak to that just real briefly, because one of the things that I think is important to recognize is that, well, the code says audits are supposed to be done. So then what is the effect then? And basically what the code says is that if you don't do your audit, then the county auditor can hire an auditor to do your audit and charge you for it. Right, so that's why we're making sure to maintain communications with our county auditor. And because our status is, you know, well, a little bit late, it's still not, it's, you know, it's essentially done. And it's not like a situation if you don't file your tax return on the time, you get a 10%. If you don't pay your property taxes on time, you pay another 10%. What it does is it gives the county auditors the authority to go in and hire somebody to do an audit if you're really being negligent. But again, keeping them in the loop, making sure that they know we're covering all the technical details, and that's the status on the update for the audit. And that overall provides my status update. Overall, be glad to answer any other questions.
Thanks. Does the board have any questions? And then I'll open it for public comment. Lori?
No.
Jen? No.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, Paula.
No. I think it's pretty right on time. I mean, it's a little late, but, you know, it's not dangerously late. Oceano has a little bit of history on being late. So when we got the letter, I wasn't that concerned because it wasn't like we were multiple years behind, which actually has happened in the past. So I took that letter as more of a dear gentleman, you know, letter.
It's true.
Then I also knew the auditors had been here, too. So,
yeah, I think that the important thing to recognize here is that as we've been tackling a lot of different challenges,
mm-hmm.
The timing of when you're going to tackle one challenge versus another becomes very important. And so what our timing has been is to make sure to be able to work with the auditors, reinforce what it's doing, so that as we're following up now on the subsequent audit, the feedback that we're getting from the auditor, we can immediately incorporate into changes in how we're dealing with some of the accounting details. Even when we go through the budget presentation, I'll be able to reinforce the point of some of that really high level of detail that we're making sure to tackle, rather than just blow through it and get a report printed out. It's a very iterative process that we're working with the auditors that's been very productive in making sure that Oceano is making the changes that we need to make.
It also, too, it really enforces how that organization moves forward in the future. This
yes.
is this is the sample that we expect your work performance to be.
Yeah.
So,
and again, I can reinforce some of that as we go through the presentation on the final
right.
budget.
Did you say it was an iterative process?
Yes, an iterative process.
I have to look that up. I have no
well, it's a back and forth. So the idea is that, a lot of times what the public sees is just an audit report.
Sure.
But when you're working through the details with auditors, you talk about how you're actually posting different general so that it can help make their job easier.
General ledger type?
General, thing? Yes.
Okay.
And so how are we implementing certain accounting practices, because as we're changing our accounting practices, the audits become more efficient, the ability for the auditor to come in and see what we're doing becomes more efficient, and so that's the iterative side of it is working back and forth. So the 14-15 audit includes a lot of the historical practices of the district, and the 15-16 audit then is going to incorporate a number of the recommendations that they have just recently made. And by doing them back-to-back, we can take their recommendations and immediately implement the new changes for the 15-16 audit.
Sure.
Great. Okay, at this time we'll open public comment. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to the update on the audit. And audits help you in budgeting for the next year. Most healthy districts try very hard to have their audits done before the end of the annual year in which the fiscal year closed. So if it closed in June of 14, you want it done and available by December or January of January 15. The other thing that audits are good for is when you are looking to get loans and grants, and you can show that you've been fiscally responsible and that you maybe have rectified any findings in the previous audit to those loan and grant providers. So they're very important, and that they're timely is also important because it helps you with your future budgeting. The perception in this district is that you hired a very competent general manager. You pay him a lot of money, on the order of $250,000 a year, and your audit is late for the first year that he worked here. The year he worked has not been in front of you to see any of the deficiencies or the findings that the auditor may have found in his first year on the job. The letter...
Tacker,
yes?
I'll stop the clock for a minute. If you'd like to speak to the issue of the audit...
I am.
Great. But if you're going to talk about personnel issues...
I can do that,
I'm
too.
I'm going to stop you each
you
time.
You can stop me all day long, but
okay.
I am going to continue.
But please try to stick to
I
the audit.
Because I have the right, and I am,
great.
Speaking to the audit, and the man
the
that you have hired
Thank
to
you.
Get that audit done is
speak
Mr.
To
Ogren.
The audit.
And I can speak to Mr. Ogren's performance
no.
if I'd like. Yes,
no.
I can.
No.
Yes,
no.
I can. The Brown Act allows me... to speak to his performance at any time that I get up to this podium. And I will continue to do so. And the perception is that you hired a CPA and you should have had this work done. And that you get a letter from the county auditor. This is not cordial. This is flexing his muscle, reminding you that under the government code, he has the ability to come in here and do the audit at your expense. It doesn't look good.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Anybody else like to speak on public comment tonight?
Yeah.
Mr. Hey, Clemens?
I'm John Clemens. I live in Oceano. I just wanted to speak in my area of expertise. I was listening to Tony's report about the sounding... And I think that's a really, really good beginning to find out what's going on with your piping. But I know for a fact that you could do better and that you could start putting cameras in there and seeing what's actually going on with the piping. The sounding, it's impressive, and it's pretty cool, but it does it.
Mr. Clemens, I'm going to stop you on for one moment, please. You have to speak on the audit.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. I apologize.
No problem. Yeah.
You know, it's just multiple things. So I'm sorry. Go
yeah,
ahead.
I was speaking on the.
You were speaking on the cameras.
Course, yeah.
Okay. I'm
and
sorry.
And so really, I'm just trying to help here. I know that the sounding equipment does well, but I know that it could miss a lot when you're talking about 50-year-old pipes. It's what I do for a living. I would hope that in your budget you leave room to hire a camera crew to go through and look at your pipes. As you said, they're pretty old. And the problem with sounding equipment is if you have an impacted pipe that the dirt's holding it together or something, then that sounding equipment won't catch that. It'll just stay together. But if you put a camera through your pipe, you can see where the pipe is deteriorating, and you can catch things before they happen. And so... Again, I think that the C-Dubs, rural water, and that the effort by the staff here is great on that sounding. But I think that if you really want to be secure going forward, you should arrange or predict, or I don't know if it's in your SSMP. Usually that type of thing is in your SSMP. But it would be really advisable with pipes this old, if you really want to know the condition of your pipe, to just stick a camera down there, pay the money, and find out what you're dealing with.
Great. Thank you very much.
With regard to cameras, Tony could probably speak to, we do have camera for the wastewater lines, and we do both jet those as well as run cameras for the wastewater lines. So the sounding equipment relating to the water system is a different technology in order to help identify leaks. But we do have a camera. They do run it through the wastewater pipes. With regard to public comment on the audit, the thing that I find most interesting about that is the idea that the public's trying to identify one specific thing and kind of rile my cage on that one thing. Yet we know that when your board hired me, there was numerous challenges that this district faced, and we know that you hired me under a four-year contract in order to help turn this district around. So we can take one item, and I expressed on multiple previous occasions the judgment that I used in utilizing the resources that we have available to tackle various issues, and it's still proving to be a very successful strategy overall. But the expectation that all things are solved in 1 year or all things are solved in 2 years is an unreasonable expectation. And I think all things considered, and as we'll go through the budget, we've been tackling our priorities in the proper order, and we're going to continue to do so.
Yeah, I agree. Mr. Clemens, I'm glad you brought the pipes back up, because it actually jogged my memory a little bit, is that after the earthquake, 2001, 2003, the earthquake, we had a lot of liquefaction that occurred in the area, and we did have trucks going through town running dropping cameras and also sonar, and they were probably in town for probably about 4 months testing every single pipe in this town because of the earthquake and the damage of the strands just liquefying, basically. So thank you very much for bringing that up, and we'll make sure that Tony always has the right equipment needed, the best technology. So, Mr. Ogren, thank you very much for going back and speaking on the audit. I don't think it's appropriate to speak about personnel issues and one's opinions or perceptions, but it is people's democratic right, democracy, to do that, and so that's fine, but I don't really appreciate it attacking people, so that's where I get my cage a little rattled, so excuse me if I do. Moving right along. Okay. Any outside committees? Let's start with Karen. Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with Karen.
Okay, I'm going to start with Zone 11A. Meeting was June 21st. They're cleaning the channel, the flood prevention cleaning the channel. It's being done by hand. We don't get any goats this year, and they're spending $41,976 to do it. The reason we don't have any goats is because we have poison hemlock in the channel, which will kill goats, and they've eradicated it as best they can by hand, but they know that a little water and it'll come right back. So that's one of the challenges, just one of the little challenges but that's underway right now, and it's supposed to be finished by August 29th, and they cleaned up a very, very large mess underneath the 22nd Street Bridge. And it seems kind of sad to me, but one of the issues, there was homeless living there, and there had been in the past sightings of numerous endangered red-legged frogs. And they're like gone. The whole area, they were using the creek as a restroom and tearing up things and tearing up the bank. And it was just really, really sad. They also were camping under the railroad bridge. And those have been cleaned out. But there's new camps around. There's a new one clear over by the Mesa in the old Las Bears Creek Channel behind St. John's Church and the substation. And it becomes an ongoing challenge. We're also, we're still in limbo on the project to improve the channel. We're still waiting for permits, and we've been waiting for permits, and I'm looking at my notes here to see how long.
They're finding it, and they kick it back.
It's a $9 million project. It's funded. It's planned. Cannot get the permits from the federal government to do the work. It's kind of like opening up the sandbar. We can't take any proactive action still in case there might be a potential for flooding to open up the sandbar at the beach. All these things are just kind of blocked, not by the county, but by the federal government, basically. This is NIMS, is just not, that's the National Marine Fisheries Service, is just basically blocked any action. So that was kind of the main things. There was some other, I have to go through all my notes, but there's some other good things happening, and they continue to work on the levee. I would have had a meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority, but the meeting was canceled. One issue being a lot of our troops are fighting on fires. And I don't know if you heard the news tonight, but Refugio is burning too. Mm. So not only is it burning up by Paradise, and actually that fire has gone from, you might say, the Cold Springs Bridge all the way on the other side of Gibraltar. It's run east. And we've had people on that fire, and we've had people on Chimney Fire, and different, actually, not just a fire crew, but different individual people have also served in certain capacities where they have talent and extra talent. And I got a report on fire calls for the year to July 18th, and 2.3% of our calls are fires. 67.8% of our calls through the entire year are EMS. And it's kind of interesting. 23% is what we call service and good intentions. But the totals by response station, Arroyo Grande Station 1, is going 30%. They have 34.6% of the calls. Grover has 36% of the calls, and Oceana has 26% of the calls. But the interesting thing is 40% of the calls are in Arroyo Grande, because you've got to remember that stations go outside their community. The closest station goes to the call. 35% are Grover and 24% are Oceana. And we've also gone to 163 total mutual aids this year, which is a lot lower since we've narrowed down the area where we go. Anyway, that's my reports.
I have a question, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. About the Zone 1-1A, the waterway management plan, you were saying it was getting blocked. I seem to remember that at one point there was a possibility that they were asking for letter writing support. Is that still the case?
No, they're going into mediation.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. The county and the NIMS and U.S. Corps of Engineers are going into mediation.
Okay, thank you.
Continue to try.
Boy, that's just one issue. I've never seen anything move so slow. Mm-hmm. 10 years, 15 years,
10
longer.
Years. 10 years. Meantime, you know, it might rain sometime. And a creek that used to hold it, what, a 100-year storm or a 50-year storm, now might be able to hold a 10-year storm.
Well, we can hope for a 10-year
storm.
And
we're at the bottom of the Arroyo Grande Valley drainage. Anyway, thank you.
If that does happen, Karen, would the people that have property along that levee able to sue them for not providing safety?
I don't know. I don't.
That levee was put there to keep the area from flooding
yeah,
and to drain.
Yeah.
And if they're refusing to keep it up to speed, it jeopardizes a lot of properties.
Well, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but one proposal that the federal government has proposed is widening the levee.
Oh, that ought to be interesting, right through...
Well, widening the levee, I mean...
Yeah, well, they need to do something, yeah.
How would you, I mean, you're going to go south for 2 miles and take all that farmland? Yeah,
that's crazy. They just need to do their job.
That's very frustrating. I know I sat with that for a while, too, and I wanted to scream and yell and pull my hair out. Never get anything done with them.
Okay. Director Grow, did you attend any...
Just the Finance Committee meeting, which is going to be covered in future agenda items. So.
And Ms. Blackburn.
Yeah, I was just going to say we reviewed the final budgets at the Finance Committee meeting on Monday and the reserve allocations and concluded recommending staff recommendation as provided in tonight's staff reports and updates.
Great. Thank you. And Director Angelo.
I have nothing to give you tonight.
Okay. I attended the South County Sanitation District meeting. It was a quick meeting. Staff gave a superintendent's report, basically with some stats on some of the readings, and we did a quick fourth quarter budget review and then consideration, basically just amending the district's conflict of interest codes, and then we adjourned. So it was a relatively it was the fastest sanitation meeting I've ever been to, but you know, so that was it. Okay, at this time we'll take public comment on the committee meeting reports. Did I get everybody? I did.
Julie Tacker, and my question is regarding the Sanitation District meeting that I did not attend this time because we were adopting a budget in Los Osos. And my question is, Mr. Huebner included a letter to the Coastal Commission regarding the redundancy project and the analysis that was done for sea level rise and tsunami run-up stuff. And he only included his cover letter, and there were multiple attachments that were not included. He said at that meeting that the attachments would be some 5 inches thick, and I think he even had a ruler indicating that the reports were 5 inches thick. And I got a copy of what was sent to the Coastal Commission from the Coastal Commission, and my documents only are a half inch thick, maybe 150 pages. My question to you, Ms. Lucy, is you are on that board, and I understood that he was going to provide those documents to you. Did you get more than I did?
Well, what he said was, I don't remember any ruler, to be honest. I don't remember a ruler. I think he said that, yeah, there were a thick set of documents that were included, but...
Have those documents been provided to you?
No, they were provided. What I asked was if they were available online.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I haven't checked.
I wouldn't want, you know, I don't want that much paper. I'm over paper, you
right.
know, and I think the rest of the people were agreeing. So I think they were available online. If not, I could certainly follow up. I have no problems with
well,
that.
Well, my concern is that what was given from the Coastal Commission to me somehow differed from what the Sanitation District gave to them. So,
okay.
There's the explanation has a gap in it, and so if you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate it.
I'll follow up. All right. Anybody else have any? Okay, this time we're going to close public comment. Don't look at me that way. Okay, Mr. Ogren. Please.
Madam President, members of the board, it's consent agenda. So public comment on consent agenda, and then, again, we have modified recommendations for your board to consider.
Okay, thanks. All right. Did everybody get a chance to read their minutes? I did. There was only one thing on this, and Jen, why don't you speak to it?
Okay.
I caught it the same thing.
Yeah, so. It was, there were, I just had some comments on them. On the board reports, director reports, sorry, it said that, did you see that? Okay, it says attended but didn't have the meeting for President Lucy and I. I mean, we attended the regional water management group, the disadvantaged communities. But then also in the business item on page 2, in the action, it says licensing for the smartphone app not to exceed $7,500, but I believe it that Director Guerrero stated $750 in his motion.
Because
so.
I thought the estimate was about 600, so we built in a little.
Speak up, Matt.
I thought the estimate was around 600, so we
unless
built in
that,
some padding.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you say that again?
You are correct.
I just like hearing it.
Wait. Your mic is not on.
I don't know if people
now that my mic is on. Yes, Mr. Guerrero, you are correct.
I'm just kidding. Thank you.
All right.
We'll make
so
those changes as well, recognizing
changes
them.
Changes in one addendum.
I don't hear that at home very often. So
as amended. Okay. So I'll entertain a motion for
public comment.
Corrections and as amended after public comment. Is there anybody who wants to speak to the consent agenda items? This would be the time to do that. It's the past minutes. Okay. Closing public comment. Tonight's really a goofy night.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as modified.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Passes. Whew. And we thought it was going to be a quick agenda.
Tony,
okay,
can you help us with the lights?
Do we want to take, do we need a break, or do we just want to go into this?
Just go.
Let's
power
go.
Through.
Let's power through it.
Madam President, members of the board and the public, Pavel Ogren, your general manager again. And so today in front of you is consideration of a resolution to approve the final budgets. The 2 1-year budgets for fiscal years 2016-17 and 2017-18. And as Directors Guerrero and Blackburn mentioned, we did meet with the Finance Committee on Monday, and we do have some modified recommendations. In consideration of the final budgets, we'll begin covering two different topics. One is the results of the 2015-16 budget and the effect that 2015-16 results have on the beginning reserves for 2016-17, and then the recommendations on reserve designations. And as a little bit of a background, at June 29th, your board adopted the preliminary budgets, and what the preliminary budgets do is establish the revenue and expenditure plans for the two-year budget. And so tonight's discussion is really limited to the reserve designations and modifying the reserves. And incorporated in this, we have some recommendations for some specific reserve designations, but those don't provide staff with the approval to actually proceed with expending that money. Instead, we'd come back at a subsequent date, when appropriate, in order to recommend a budget adjustment in order to be able to utilize those reserves. Now, your board has broad authority today. You can modify your revenue and expenditure plans if you so choose, but the protocol is that revenue and expense evaluation is really done during the preliminary budget, and that at this time in the final budget, we're only looking at reserves and the results of the prior year. And I would recommend that we stay with that protocol because individuals from the public who might be interested in how expenditures or might change throughout the year, it's really more appropriate to have it on the agenda at some future date with a budget adjustment as opposed to changing the expenditure plan today. So that's what we're doing. We're focusing in on reserves and talking about. Now, one of the things that I want to make sure to emphasize is that we have a lot of details in the budgets today. And some of those details follow from past practices, but there's additional details that in my review now of many, many years of district activity, have just never been done in the past. So we are taking budgetary approaches, developing the budgetary worksheets, and doing our budgetary analysis, including reserves, really at a higher level of detail than the district has ever experienced in the recent past. And so all of the and I'm not going to run through all the detailed worksheets, but I want to make sure to provide some illustrative examples of the types of details that we have been working through with the budgets. And then at the appropriate time, I'll cover some of the budgetary highlights. But we have detailed budget worksheets. For example, the one that I'm showing on the screen right now is revenues in the general fund. So we illustrate the 2015-16 budget last year, the final unaudited numbers, and the variance to the extent that, you know, we either did better or not as well as what the budget predicted on a line item by line item basis. And then we show the budget for 16-17 and 17-18, the preliminary numbers that your board already the numbers that your board already approved in the preliminary budget. So every single line item we have shown, and again, I'll speak to this in highlights in a little bit. But this is an example of a revenue detailed sheet. Right behind it, we also have for every fund detailed expenditure worksheets, again, showing what was budgeted last year, what were the final unaudited numbers from last year, variances, and then the two-year budgets that we're looking at. The particular one that I'm showing also shows the administrative fund and the cost allocations from the administrative fund to the other funds. And I bring up this one because during the Finance Committee meeting, one of the individuals in the public asked, how are these cost allocations determined? In summary, last year we had $704,000 budgeted in the administrative fund. We ended up incurring costs of about $667,000, so we had about a 5% savings. But those administrative costs then get allocated to the other funds, fire, lighting, water, sewer, garbage, facilities, based on pre-established board-approved percentages. So the fire fund pays 4% of the administrative, lighting pays 1%, water is 45%. Sewer is 40, garbage is 6%, and the facilities fund pays 4%. And those percentage allocations have existed for several years now. They date back prior to me. And one of the questions that came up is that, do we change those every year? And the answer is that we don't. One of the important things with overhead allocations is that you develop a rational approach, and then you consistently apply it. And that's important because we can recognize that in some years, you know, water is going to, you know, be a bigger part of what we're working on. In other years, sewer is going to be a bigger part of what we're working on. Like this year, we're going to be focusing more on the lateral program. So from year to year, the idea is that these administrative cost allocations may not be entirely reflective of, but on an average, one year to the next, they should work themselves out. I do think, though, that since they have been in effect for several years, that during this two-year budget cycle, towards the end of it, we should be looking at those admin cost allocations again in order to update them for once we're out of this two-year budget cycle. But I wanted to make sure to cover that point because it was a question that came up during the Finance Committee meeting. Also, in the budget worksheets are some that have not previously existed, you know, prior to me joining the district. And these are summary worksheets illustrating all the funds. And there's, you know, basically they just line everything up. A couple of the takeaways from this particular one is that they show operating revenues separate from non-operating revenues. They show operating expenses separate from non-operating expenses. And part of that importance is that when we're collecting fees from new development, we want to make sure, to the best extent that we can, that they don't subsidize operating expenditures, that our rates and charges cover at least our operating expenses, so that fees that we get from new development can be dedicated to capital projects. And that strategy, has, as we'll talk about, has been very successful this past year. On the very bottom of this, where I kind of have a big oval circle or whatever, shows that they're all balanced. It shows that there is, you know, the revenues and the uses match each other. It also shows how the reserves change a little bit, because certainly that comes into play in making sure that our budgets are balanced. But a lot of details associated with each of the funds, and then summarized in these worksheets. And I think, as one of the directors mentioned, we're developing this approach in order to have a more detailed, a more refined budgetary approach than the district has had in the past, so that as we move forward in the future, that this gets established into the normal protocol of Oceano CSD. So moving into our 2015-16 revenue analysis, and this is where I'll start hitting on the highlights in just a second, but it shows that overall we had last year budgeted about $4.2 million in revenues, and we received about $3.8 million in revenues, or a shortfall of about $423,000. But that $423,000 was really primarily attributed to the sewer fund, because the sanitation district chose to start doing their own billing. And so we did not have, we had one billing period where we had revenues associated with the sanitation district. And when you take that particular issue out, then all of our other revenues exceeded budget on a combined basis. And again, I'll speak a little bit more detail there. On the expenditure analysis, we had about $4.2 million also in the final budget for expenditures, and we spent almost $3.4 million, or a budgetary savings of almost $900,000. Again, the biggest single item there is that because we only did one billing period for the sanitation district, there's five billing periods that we didn't send them any money, and we can see on the sewer fund, the savings there was $510,000, so that's the biggest chunk of the $888,000. But it also shows that we had some really substantial savings in the water fund and some, you know, good savings along the lines of what I would hopefully expect on a normal basis in the other funds. This is the 2015-16 combined analysis, and all of these tables are in the staff report. But this is the one where I'm going to hit on a little bit of the highlights, because I'll, again, show the revenue variance, the expenditure variance, which I just touched on briefly. But then we also have the accounting adjustments. So as we're going through the audits, we're identifying things, most of them from the past, like, for example, deposits from new development. So even in the audit of 2013-14, which I helped pull together, we're going back in time and we're finding details that did not really quite match up. And from an auditor's perspective, these numbers are minor. You know, what an auditor does is expresses an opinion on the reasonableness of the financial statements overall. They are not expressing an opinion on the very fine details associated with the financial records. But that's what we're doing. And so we're going back there, and we've gone back and done backtracked for years on a number of different items. As I previously reported to your board on the interfund loans associated with the sheriff's building, we had to go back 15 years last year. Certainly that's some of the work effort that we've been focusing on as a priority. But in any case, the accounting adjustments also come into play in terms of what the fund balance is. So before I get into these highlights, though, I want to talk a little bit about what is fund balance. Because for a governmental entity, it's really what we call modified working capital. And working capital from a business perspective is your current assets minus your current liabilities. Current assets minus current liabilities really speaks to those funds that are available to help pay bills on, you know, a near-term basis. So fixed assets, for example, while fixed assets are an asset and they're part of our equity, they're not part of fund balance for a budgetary purpose. So financial statement reporting will say fixed assets, it's part of your equity, it's a good thing to have fixed assets, but they don't play into the budget because you can't spend a fixed asset in order to pay for something. If you sell a fixed asset, we might get a little bit of money from the disposition of a fixed asset, and then that's a revenue source that we can help, you know, maybe buy a new fixed asset. But fund balance itself is first off the concept of current assets minus current liabilities, because those are the resources then that are available to spend in the next year. In government, we do it under a modified working capital approach, because the current portion of long-term debt is a current liability and would be typically subtracted out of your current assets to come up with working capital. But because we budget for paying off our debt as part of our budget, then we don't count current portion of long-term debt against our working capital, because if we did, we'd be basically hitting the budget twice. So we have to take the current asset minus current liability and then modify it for things like debt service or the current portion of the lease payment on the truck, because those things are actually incorporated into our expenditure plan. So what we do on accounting adjustments is at the end of the year, we start evaluating that working capital again and saying, how is that adjusting what we have available for the next year? Of particular note is under the sewer fund, we have an accounting adjustment of negative $12,588. Because what we've been able to identify during the audit is that there has been some underpayment to South County Sanitation District that predates, and so we've been able to go through and start evaluating that. And when we're finished now with the 15-16 audit, because we've done this detail even for 15-16, our rough estimate at the end of 15-16 is that $12,588 is associated with 14-15 and prior years, and we think that that number is going to jump up a little bit when it comes to 15-16. But part of that detail is looking not just what happened in the last year or last 2 years, mm-hmm. but also going back multiple years in order to make sure that we catch up for some of these details that had not been addressed by the district. So there has been a lot of work. There's been a lot of catch-up work. And this helps to illustrate how we are now taking accounting adjustments and incorporating them into the budget analysis on a very detailed level, which, again, I haven't found no indication that the district had done that at any time in the recent past, and I would be surprised if they had done it in the past from a long time ago either. But that is illustrative of the level of effort that we're working on right now, both in terms of budgetary analysis as well as accounting analysis. So what this schedule shows is the 2015-16 estimated ending reserves when the 15-16 budget was adopted by your board, and then what we do is we have to take into account, what's our variance in revenues? Did we collect more or less than what we thought we were going to collect in 15-16? What's our variance in expenditures? Did we collect? Did we spend more or less than what we thought we were going to spend in 15-16? Taking into account the accounting adjustments that we know right now, and then that becomes our new beginning 2016-17 fund balance for the district that's incorporated into your agenda package. At the Finance Committee, they asked for us to do some more detailed schedules on how these changes, because what this schedule does is it illustrates it bottom line for each of the funds. So, for example, the general fund ends up having a increase of $56,672 better than what we anticipated when last year's budget was adopted. The equipment fund is better off by $7,500. The facilities fund is better off by about $19,000. The water fund is better off by about $264,000. Sewer fund better off by about $65,000. The garbage fund better off by $23,000. And the Finance Committee said, hey, can you break us and show us how that affects the different designations? And we're going to do that in a minute. And then Carrie's going to follow up with some of the modified recommendations for the reserve designations. But in covering our variances and the combined analysis from last year, the general fund's positive variance on revenues of about $30,058 is primarily attributed to additional property tax revenues of about $40,000. The auditor provides us with the property tax estimates every year, and what is in the 2016-17 budget is based on information provided by the county auditor. Tends to be a little bit conservative, and so we're seeing that we did collect about $40,000 more in property taxes than what they estimated. You know, that's partly a reflection of, you know, the slow recovery of the economy. We know that housing prices have stabilized, and I would expect that in 16-17 we'll probably get a little bit more property tax money than what their estimate was as well. We had some miscellaneous other revenues that came in a little bit higher, about $8,000, and then $18,000 less in fees from the sanitation district for billing services because, again, the sanitation district is doing their own billing. For the equipment fund, That variance is a reflection of just not spending as much money as what we had budgeted. The revenues came right on target because the equipment fund revenues are derived from water, sewer, and garbage, and basically are billed as budgeted. The additional facilities fees revenues were the slight increase in the rental to the old fire station. The water fund itself had a shortfall on a bottom line basis of about $22,000 because conservation efforts in the community exceeded our 20% target when your board approved the drought conservation rates. Overall, the operating revenue shortfall was about $87,000, and the non-operating revenues exceeded budget by about $64,000. Overall, revenues were slightly short, but as we can see, the expenditures in the water fund, which I'll speak to in a second, were significantly less, so the water fund's overall position improved. The sewer fund revenue shortfall, as spoken to before, was primarily attributable in the change on the billing associated with South County Sanitation District, and the garbage fund revenue shortfall was relatively modest at $875. Moving on to the expenditure variance, the administrative budget realized expenditure savings of almost $54,000, including costs and personnel costs of about $55,000. Our office manager position had been essentially vacant the vast majority of the year. It was reclassified as a business and accounting manager position, and of course Carrie came on in June. Some slight savings in services supplies of about $20,000, and then we had overages and other expenditures of about $20,000. Part of it is claims, and we had a settlement payment, and that's an example of an accounting adjustment that we're going to see because that settlement payment came in the 15-16 year. The auditors really attributed it to 14-15 because it had to do with employment in 14-15, even though the expenditure happened in 15-16. So it's a good example of sometimes how budgets vary from financial reporting. Overall, that administrative cost allocation, again, provided about a 5% savings to all the funds on admin. The fire budget was pretty much on track after the budget adjustment of $5,700 to cover the final payment on the fire engine. The lighting fund savings of about $7,800 resulted primarily from cost and power. We've done the conversion to LED lights, and we're seeing some of the power bills go down. The water fund, which had the big savings, included about $55,000 in personnel costs, partly because we're budgeting. The stipend is $800 per month per employee for health benefits, but not everybody utilizes that whole $800. Some $15,000 in services and supplies. But the big item is $131,000 for state water due to one-time credits. And because we had seen fluctuating costs in prior years, our budget estimate was a little bit conservative. But in any case, the big savings there was in reductions in costs from state water, which are coming back up again, but that was a good savings for 15-16.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
And rest assured, we'll usually pay between $850,000 to $900,000, just as a rough,
yes,
give and take for state water.
Yes.
Okay.
And with the drought buffer, we're going to see that, bump up again in calendar year 2017.
Right.
Which we have incorporated into the budget. Again, the garbage fund had some savings, but predominantly because the $15,000 that had been budgeted for illegal dumping has been deferred and the program is getting kickstarted this year. So those are some of the highlights. Those numbers are relatively consistent with where we saw ourselves going in the 15-16 year, although they ended up being, in some cases, like the water fund, even better than what we had thought that they were going to be. What I want to do now is to move to this issue of 2016-17 reserves. And so this is a lot of stuff for screen, but what we've done is provided additional hard copies for everybody, and that's these, and they're tabbed, and we have additional up there for any members of the public who want to follow along. But what this illustrates then is for 2016-17 reserves, The very top section here shows by fund and then all the different reserves that we have, where we're starting 16-17, and then increases in the specific reserves, decreases in the specific reserves, and then we're going to be at the where we estimate we're going to be at the end of the year. So the beginning numbers, though, are called adjusted and restated, and they're adjusted and restated for the reasons that I just highlighted: revenue variances from the prior year, expenditure variances from the prior year, and then accounting adjustments. So as adjusted and restated numbers, the Finance Committee said, hey, how did you get to adjusted and restated? So that's the exercise that I'll try to get through relatively quickly.
She's kidding.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So what we do is we first start with the 2015-16 numbers. And at the very bottom, highlighted in green, and we're working backwards through the handouts. So this is the first one we're working on is the purple tab. And what the purple tab shows is what was adopted in 15-16. And the bottom section is the reserve designations that were adopted for the 15-16 budget. And that's just straight out of the 15-16 budget book. So that's an easy one, and I'm going to toss that away. The next tab is the orange tab is what then I saw. This is the adjusted and restated. So now at the top are the green numbers that came forward from last year's budget. They were at the bottom of the sheet last year, and now they're at the top of the sheet this year. And we've got to see how do we adjust those for those variances from last year and those accounting adjustments. So that's what this sheet does. And this middle section in here, which is have the yellow highlights for the subtotals, those reflect the changes based on those budget variance analysis. The revenues and the expense variance analysis, and then the next subtotals reflect the accounting changes. So one of the things that jumps out at us is there's two different types of reserves that are restricted. There's the public facilities fees and then the joint venture deposits that we have with CCWA and the county. And as restricted reserves, we'll all remember that those are legally enforceable by third parties. So we adjust those to the exact dollar amount that that we need to adjust those for. So that adjustment happens up in this section. The other thing that we do is when I look back at the operating revenues versus the operating expenses, I want to make sure that we're increasing our designations for capital outlay by at least the amount of the development-related fees that we get, like on the water side, so that when we get those connection fees and those capacity charges, in 15-16, this is the section where I make sure that those get dedicated to designations for infrastructure and capital outlay. And I've done that, and then I actually added a little bit more to it, but at least as much as what those facilities fees or those new development fees were. And that's all good news that that worked out. And actually, I switched the schedules again. That's Carrie's. This one. So up in that,
this color.
You got a question?
Is there a color tab?
So we're still on the orange tab.
Still on the orange tab. Okay.
And so again, this is where we incorporate the changes in reserves based on the budget variances and the accounting adjustments to come up with our new and restated numbers to begin 16-17. So then these blue numbers. Up, there I go. I'm skipping way ahead again. If I could only become the new blue numbers up at top. So this is the schedule that then is in your budget book right now with those restated beginning reserves right up here. And all the other numbers in this schedule match up with what was in the preliminary budget with the exception of this one, $80,000, which is a reduction for 16-17 in the governmental fund, and that was our first shot at the backhoe that your board approved or directed us to incorporate into the budget at the preliminary during the preliminary budget hearings. Right, so this schedule itself matches, except for we had to add that $80,000. And our first shot was to utilize governmental unassigned reserves for that. And then meeting at the Finance Committee, we talked about some adjustments. And the adjustments, and so these are modified recommendations. They're reflected in the yellow. And at this point in time, I'm going to ask Carrie to walk through those adjustments. She provided a memo that identifies the four adjustments, and this worksheet sort of shows how those adjustments will change reserve designations. And before I let Carrie get going, because I know she really wants to go and get going into this, again, it doesn't change our expenditure plan, right? We have to come back to the board and make budget adjustments in order to utilize any of these designations. And with that, Carrie.
Good evening, Madam President and board members. I'm Carrie Cassiola, your business and accounting manager at OCSD. I'm here to review the recommendations of the utilization of your guys' last year's savings. We have four items. They've been numbered on the staff report and highlighted in the Excel spreadsheet for you guys. The first one is in regards to lighting maintenance. For lighting, we would like to allocate $6,600 of last year's $7,600 savings to deferred maintenance. In the previous year, we had budgeted $1,000 for lighting maintenance, which remained untouched. And we looked into our utility bills that was related to the lighting, and we have saved every period. This can be due to a couple of factors. One could be just the amount of lights that are out. The other one could be the ones we have replaced, we've replaced with LED lights, which are more efficient and save on your guys' bills. So we want to continue doing that.
Right.
We have our guys currently taking a survey and counting the number of lights that are down, and we plan on consolidating that into a report for you guys with numbers and locations of lights. It's also a good idea because daylight savings is coming up, and it'll get darker earlier. Yes. So, yeah. The next one is for the backhoe, which was incorporated into the preliminary budget by your board. We would like to propose to allocating the backhoe to more reflect the usage of that piece of equipment. Instead of taking the full $80,000 out of the governmental fund, we'd like to spread it through the water, sewer, and garbage. It will not only help with the utilization of that piece of equipment, but it'll help with the savings of the governmental fund, because if we were to take the full $80,000 out of the governmental fund, we'd be using all the savings plus more. So that will help with the savings. Next two are for fire, which we are recommending $25,000 be allocated to the government fund, which would bring the ending contingencies down here at the bottom to about $45,000, which is roughly 5% of the fire budget, which is standard governmental operations. To keep that about funded anywhere between 3 and 5% of your fire budget, just in case. So that would that wouldn't earmark anything. That would just be reassigning funds. The next is for the fire flooring. We have deferred maintenance in the back unit over there for the staff employee housing area, and we would like to allocate $5,000 from the governmental fund for new infrastructure for their flooring. So for fiscal year 2015 and 16, we had a total savings of $436,000. Mm-hmm. And with our recommendations totaling to $91,000, with the majority of that being from the backhoe, we would end with a net savings of $345,000.
Wow.
Questions?
Well, it's a significant savings, obviously, the 346 or 345, excuse me, to go from the days of a budget that was running negative to now figuring out what to do with our reserves and capital replacement. It's a very positive turning of the tide. So
I certainly don't want to set the expectation that we're going to see these kind of savings, you know, every year, because we had some one-time savings.
State water, we had some personnel savings and such.
But it does show, you know, successful implementation of budgetary types of strategies. And the recommendations that Carrie just covered are part of that, because we know that, you know, we still are operating on relatively tight budgets. Our ability to implement some cost controls has been important, while also, you know, revenue enhancements, especially when the drought conservation rates were adopted. But the idea that since we know we cannot catch up with all deferred maintenance immediately, the strategy of trying to develop budget savings in 1 year so that then we can allocate that amount to designated reserves and start tackling the deferred maintenance issues is really one of the benefits of what happened in 2015-16.
And I'm a broken record on this, but I know, but when we purchase new capital or pieces of capital equipment, I think our budgeting needs to include the depreciation with the reserves being set aside so that next time it's not as difficult to figure out how to pay for these pieces of capital equipment. So.
And that strategy is illustrated up here on the equipment fund with that expenditure variance of 78.13. The estimating ending reserves of 4,023 is the recovery of some of the depreciation specifically associated with the down payment that the governmental fund. So it's a good start on the equipment fund, and as the years go by, we're going to see the equipment fund be in a better position to replace equipment when the time comes up.
And the same thing with our F-150 and our jetter. Those are our previous two big pieces of equipment that we purchased in the last couple of years that would be, you know, capturing the depreciation. And
we still have more to do on equipment fund replacement strategies, but 15-16 was the first year that we implemented the equipment fund.
Right.
It's a step in the right direction.
Well, and it was difficult before when we didn't have enough money to pay all the bills without dipping into reserves that to contribute to replacement funds. So this is very encouraging. I'll turn it over to the rest of the board. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who'd like to... Lori?
I'm glad to see that this is going to play out and over time, that we're prepared for the next year, which is something that we haven't had for a long time, kind of a guessing as to where we were. Done a lot of work, and it's very appreciative because I feel better we've got money coming for next year and things that we can do and implement.
I have a question. Can I get clarification on the modified recommendations Excel spreadsheet?
Please.
On the general, on the governmental fund column, for item 2 where it's talking about the BACO, I'm just confused about why it says 55,000. I'm not sure if that can I.
Oh. So that would be, instead of it going from taking it all up the 80K out, by taking the 25 and the 25, the other two on the columns for water and sewer and garbage, that's their total going back into the governmental fund.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's
subtracting. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
We wanted to continue to show the 80,000 that had been originally, and so that 80,000 gets reduced by 55,000.
Thank you.
And it will become 25.
Okay. I had not done that math. Thank you. And then my other question was about the lighting. And it was stated in item 1 on the memo that the savings from 15-16 was $7,600 and that the additional 1,000 that was not going to be used for the equipment replacement, is it shown on this going to reserves? And is it included in another number that I'm not seeing?
The 1,000 would be a part of this. 7,600.
Okay, so I only see it being canceled at 6,600?
Because we would only use 6,600 of it.
Okay, I'm sorry. So where would it be included in terms of the reserves increasing? Or is that the starting balance? That's what it would show.
Yeah,
so the cancellation would be only 66.
So this is the sheet, the orange tab, which is the adjusted and restated. Shows in the governmental fund
an increase of 56,672. Yes. So that's the total increase for the governmental fund savings, including the $7,600 from lighting.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Karen?
No.
Matt?
No, thank you. It's a lot of hard work, and I'm as I've said before, I appreciate the two-year budget. I think this will give us a lot of guidance.
Well, I just have to tell you is that we've come a long, long way, you know, to have to even having a discussion about deferred maintenance is just like, it's almost like, you know, slap me out of this dream, you know, because when we started this venture, it was a mess. Mm-hmm. It was just a mess, and I remember having to jump between board members to see who was going to go turn on the lights in the morning. You know, so to come this far is really, truly amazing, and to be able to start the year off with a little bit of a buffer after all the criticism and slandering and, you know, and drawing pictures of a sinking ship and putting the name Oceano on it, and to come this far and still have a reserve and to have a strong institution to support is just, it's amazing to me. It's just flat amazing. And to have a financial roadmap, I guess, that anybody could actually follow is really the most transparent, fiscally responsible thing I've ever seen in my 30 years of sitting in some capacity. So I want to thank you so very, very much. And I want to thank, you know, all the people who screamed the negativity, because it just drove us even harder and faster to rectify it, put us on track, and now we're buying a backhoe. So
I know Tony's happy.
And you know, this woman is happy, too.
I also want to make sure to express my appreciation for the others you know, in the district, because, you know, Celia helps coordinate will serve letters, and so she's been doing a lot of modifications on how we're tracking when we get deposits from development, when they actually connect, because, for example, we've got a significant deposit in hand from CHC.
Oh, yeah.
Those have not been brought into revenues yet. That's going to be $100,000 or more dollars that we're going to bring into revenues in 16-17, and we're not counting them yet until they're here. But the key is that even though the deposit and the money has already been received, we don't count those as revenues until they make the connection.
Right.
So we have a deposit, and she's been tracking now, you know, new procedures on when did we get the money, when did they hook up, what's their status, so that the auditors can look at that and, you know, check off all the boxes. Meanwhile, Nicole has been working through the reimbursement agreements to make sure that we're getting all the time and materials repaid. That was a reimbursement resolution that your board adopted in late 2014, and then we did one modification in 2015. Obviously, those were a couple of things that we did right away to make sure that we can get all the money that we need to be getting from new development. So Nicole's been tracking those. Carrie's obviously just jumped in and just started addressing details from day one, which I really appreciate. So it's, you know, everybody's pulling together pretty well, and I really appreciate it. And
on top of this, you know, the offices were restructured, rebuilt the work environment. Each department has been pretty much, you know, paid attention to, and so institutionally it just doesn't get any better. I just can't thank you all enough, really. As a ratepayer, we're just really very, very fortunate people. Thank you.
I did have another question, though. On the resolution, I didn't go back and compare it to make sure that the numbers were consistent with
the... So the resolution, so what we have is we have modified recommendations.
Right.
Right. The appropriate action, if your board so chooses, is, and I wrote it down, is to approve the budget as modified with corresponding changes to the resolution and the budget document.
Okay.
Because these changes will change the resolution, and they'll actually make some minor changes to the beginning reserves for 17-18.
And that's pretty important, because then what we can do is we'll incorporate these changes, and they will flow through the resolution, and they'll flow through to the beginning numbers in 17-18. That's the appropriate motion. And then what we'll do is we'll reprint the budget, and we'll basically put it on the consent agenda as soon as we can get it all together, and say as published, that this is, you know, we'll publish the budget with these changes, and we'll include the signed, the new, you know, the appropriate signed resolution in that published document as well.
Okay. And last but not least, I want to thank Mr. Minnery. You're always so wonderful to sit here with, and I know that you have contributed to this piece of work in keeping the district as strong as possible.
He has, because embedded in the details, we had 3 fire hydrants, I think, that were hit last year. The speed in which we got, and Jeff and Nicole are the ones who really work on this stuff. Nicole's not here, but the speed in which we got our claims to the insurance companies of the drivers, and one of them was renting a recreational vehicle.
Oh.
So we had to kind of work a little. I don't get any credit for this again. But the key is that when you have fire hydrants or you have other claims, you have to act on them fast.
Yep.
And so I work with Jeff with setting up, you know, how we want to do it. And then I haven't had to do anything since then, because Nicole and Jeff, you know, just as we've had those claims, they take care of them and boom. And, you know, that's, I don't know if that was $20,000, $25,000 this year, but without having that administrative efficiencies, we don't get that $20,000 or $25,000 back.
That's right.
So. I have a question. Was that the fire hydrant on Pier Avenue?
That was one of them.
I didn't turn a claim in, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, you just had a scratch. That didn't actually damage it. But I think, you had damage to your vehicle, but the fire hydrant survived. But until the next person, yeah.
Okay. At this time, we'll open it up for public comment, I guess. Is there any Julie Tacker public comment?
I don't know. I drove a long way to talk about this. I am Julie Tacker, and I think since the draft audit is available to Mr. Ogren, it might have been helpful to have those numbers to also look at as part of your discussion. My biggest concern is that the capital improvement projects that you know are coming in these next 2 years associated with Highway 1 and 13th Street and Air Park Drive relocation of utilities, those are going to suck up any reserves you have, and you aren't even putting a ballpark on those numbers. And yeah, you'll be back for budget adjustments and probably tap those reserves and spend it to just dance for those projects. You have other projects that were identified in a decade ago that still haven't been fixed, that you don't have even that list in front of you anymore. It just went away. And so no pro forma. Matt hammered the pro forma. We don't have that. I know it's something someone else is going to do as part of the grant money when it comes and when you can spend it. But even a project that puts bollards around fire hydrants would be a good one to identify, to say we're going to spend this money to protect our assets or asses. One thing that Mr. Ogren said that was interesting was the underpayments to the sanitation district and the timing of that. And if you recall, Mr. Gieslin said, we hold the check. Well, clearly he held it, because Mr. Ogren is finding that you owe them money. The presentation by Ms. Cassiola, the allocations from the different funds to purchase the backhoe, I didn't hear, maybe I missed it. How much is garbage paying? How much do you expect the garbage fund to fund a backhoe? How much use in the garbage department will that backhoe be utilized for? Much of the savings was that you didn't have two staff members for the majority of the year. The other question I have about savings is how much of that is really is revenue. You had a rate increase, and you've continued to defer maintenance, so that equals savings. And then when you do have the conversation about administrative cost allocations, I'd be curious if Mr. Ogren could kind of give us some ideas if he's going to maybe do that on a time basis, how much time is devoted to each fund.
All right, thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Tucker. Mr. Brunet.
Yes, Andrew Brunet, Oceana resident. So the first thing I wanted to say, I had a couple things, but I was at the Finance Committee meeting, and this, with the color-coded tabs and everything, was much easier to follow, so I thought that was great. Also, just coming from both, I've worked both in the public sector and private sector, I definitely agree with President Lucy that, and I wasn't here during the real challenging years, but to finally have this as a starting point is great for transparency purposes, as well as to be able to actually see where we are and where we're trying to go. So I also think that's fantastic. I did want to kind of jump from where Ms. Julie Tacker was coming from as well. And where the reserves are looking at for unassigned, I was kind of curious, too, why some of those funds hadn't been moved into the capital outlay for the coming projects that we have coming up in the near future. So, thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to... Is there any other public comment at this time?
Yeah.
Mr. Clements.
Yeah, echo everybody. This budget is really clear, a lot more clear.
We need to make sure that it's you want to be Mr. Clemens, John Clemens, Oceano. I won't time you. Don't worry.
Okay. I'm John Clemens. I live in Oceano.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And these budgets are really clear. I do appreciate them. I do appreciate that the district's in a better position. Why? You know, a lot of people could argue, but the bottom line is you're in a better position now. But my concern, I'm a sewer guy, so I was looking at the sewer fund and Mr. Ogren mentioned, you know, I was at the budget committee meeting and I noticed the allocations, admin allocations. And then Mr. Ogren explained that, you know, those were things that were set, those percentages were set at time before. And so sometimes they may not seem appropriate now. And I was thinking that, and I was looking at the sewer fund, I was thinking, you have a fund of $1 million for the 2 years, $1,096,000, I think it is. And $600,000 of it is admin, and that doesn't include employee costs or time. So you have $1 million budget. You have $100,000 that you're going to spend on services, and $600,000 for admin. You know, and again, I understand that was already set, but maybe that deserves some looking into, because if you're going to take that much out, I'd like to see this district leave that much in and service your sewer systems. I think you guys misunderstood something I was saying earlier. When I was talking about Cameron, I was talking about Cameron and your whole system, not little spots here and there. And that's a cost. But, again, I would say $600,000, $650,000 out of $1 million budget for admin, you know, for sewer, which, you know, you think about sewer, you think about flushing, you think about digging, you think about backhoes. You think about the guys out there, not so much the admin folks on the sewer thing. Again, that was already set in place before this budget came, but you guys might want to reconsider reallocating that money or leaving it in the sewer for actual sewer work. So probably, I think, a good idea.
Thank you. All right. Is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment tonight? Hearing none, I'll close public comment. Just out of curiosity, What fund did we buy the jetter out of?
The jetter would have had...
It was sewer.
Before my... It had to be. It's solely used for sewer.
Yeah.
It's both sewer and water.
Because I know it was
there is some water when you use the back.
One department, but I think they've changed that.
Yeah.
There was some water because it's used for back. If there's a water line break, they'll...
Yeah.
Or potholing. Yeah.
Right.
It's got some...
Right.
But I'm not sure. You know, it had to have been predominantly out of sewer.
Yeah. But it was actually a loan from one entity to another. I think it was garbage, actually. Might have been. Okay.
Well, and that's another highlight, because these budgets are the first time that we are making sure to repay the interfund loans.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, it's not that we owe the sanitation district, it's that we found funds that belong to the sanitation district. So that was another great.
You know, I think my summary comments, and certainly, the public comment, I think, touched on some of the things that, you know, we already know, that what we've done is really stabilize the base budget for the district.
Yep.
We are now making sure that we can incorporate all of the audit adjustments and figure out how they affect the budget. But budget came number one because the budget is how we collect money and how we spend money. Audits are reporting on us, but we had to get those budgets back in order. There is still more work to do from a budgetary perspective because we have brought back pro formas to your board on operating. The CIP program, though, the capital improvement projects that we need to be evaluating, that Tony reported on today, where Rural Water has come out and helped start do some of the leak detection, because the 2009 Master Water Plan identifies pipes that the engineers specifically recommended be replaced. And then, as Tony indicated, there's other pipes that he's been concerned about, and it's those other pipes that then Rural Water helped start doing some leak detection on. So we're moving forward on the CIP effort. The county has just today, I talked to the county today, received the grant agreement from the Department of Water Resources for our Prop 84 grant.
Okay.
Again, money that's not incorporated in the budget. We'll add that to the budget when we have the grant agreement. But that's $100-some thousand that is then going to allow us, among other things, to bring on an engineer and start doing our preliminary engineering update cost estimates for the CIP, the capital improvements that need to be done, so that we can then start earmarking the unassigned reserves to specific capital outlay efforts and identify to what extent do we have sufficient money and how much are we short.
Right.
Well, the good news then with the disadvantaged community money that's following up on the Prop 84 money is then that's going to provide some of the seed money to start doing design work and getting projects shovel ready. I don't think that the disadvantaged community money is going to be sufficient to do all the design work. So, you know, we know we have some influx like of revenues from CHC. We know we have some grants. We are going to have to do the utility relocation on Airport Drive Bridge. That's now that's been pushed off a year by the county, so that's not going to start before 2018. 2018 is the earliest. In 2017, we do think we're going to have the relocations associated with the Highway 1 13th Street drainage project. I expect the engineer's estimates on those to be done in September, so we're going to be able to come back and report to your board either September or October. Jeff's been providing feedback to the county on the reimbursement agreement that they've provided and still has posed some questions that we want answers to on where liabilities truly rest. So certainly we are on top of those issues, and we're going to be reporting back to your board as soon as we have some of the numbers. But I think that overall for the water fund, which is where the focus of those comments are, we're in a the savings puts us in a good position to be able to cover those relocation costs associated with county projects and do pretty well in providing us the rest of the funding to get projects shovel ready. And then that's going to give us the ability to evaluate
How are we going to fund those capital improvements? I've been talking again this week with USDA because both USDA and the State Water Board are the most likely funding opportunities for us. Those programs are really well suited for disadvantaged communities. They're well suited for communities with populations under 10,000. The USDA program itself is explicitly for populations under 10,000, although a lot of communities have gotten congressional waivers on that, including Los Osos. But in any case, those funding opportunities, the loan and grant programs from the State Water Board and USDA are the ones that really are going to be the ones that we need to target. They provide low interest rate financing, extended terms in order to minimize budgetary impacts. So this is good for base budgeting, but certainly we know we've got work ahead of us on capital improvement programs that are going to be right around the corner.
Jump off a little bit is that you're going to hear more and more about disadvantaged communities simply because communities that don't have the resources to have a development department, a development team, engineers full-time on staff to create plans and continually have plans ready on the shelf. So when, like, Prop 84 funds do come down, it's not a competitive process because some communities that just don't have the resources cannot compete for these funds. And so obviously the governor had heard us. I know that CSDA pushed very, very hard and some of the other organizations to get a pool of funds set aside for determined disadvantaged communities. Oceano happened to be one of the five. Well, there's technically four, but one's calling themselves disadvantaged. But the pool of money is very, very small, and I saw that that was not included in there. But it still, Oceano is in there for approximately, roughly, probably $120,000, which is, you know, it's a little bit, it's a start. Let's just put it that way. And it's our job to push harder. So next year it's $500,000, and the year after that it's $1 million. So on that note, I'll entertain a motion, unless you want to talk some more. You do.
He's no.
I can tell.
I do, but I won't.
No, go for it.
I'm going to defer to Jennifer to make the motion. Or Ms. Blackburn, I should say.
Can you repeat your recommended?
So the recommended motion is to approve the final 2 1-year budgets for fiscal years 2016-17 and 2017 as modified with corresponding changes to the resolution and budget document.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote. I didn't. Karen did.
Vice President Karen White seconded it.
Yeah, and it is a roll call because it's approval of a resolution, yeah.
All right.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes.
You know, I want to join some of those comments that we heard that the sophistication of this budget just exceeds anything that I've come across before. Also, I want to applaud the staff and thank Ms. Cassiola and Mr. Ogren after Monday's meeting for coming up with this supplemental report. It was well written, well presented, and I really appreciate it at every level. I really appreciate it, so thank you.
Yeah. I also want to thank Celia. She's been here when it's been nasty and ugly and, you know,
She's our senior employee.
I know.
Tony's pulling up the rear there.
You've actually done so much for us, questions, that type of thing as well. But without you here, there's probably been a lot more issues that nobody knew about that could be corrected.
Star of institutional memory.
She's it. You know, when I got here and we were 3 years behind in audits and bodies were flying, it was Celia was my senior employee at that time, and
she was our rock.
She's the peanut butter held the sandwich together a lot of times, I tell you. So.
And she's an absolute joy to work with.
All the time.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
If you ever hear her laughing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're probably talking. Cause. I call in and she always gives me a laugh, so that's for sure.
At 4, that's pretty good. Utility items. I think we got it covered.
Yep.
Okay. Receive written communications. Nobody writes to us anymore.
They don't call. They don't write.
Yeah.
I think it's probably worth mentioning that the garbage company did ask for a letter of support for the hearing at the Planning Commission.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Based on the board's prior approval of the extension, the hearing, you know, you had a public hearing. You approved their rate increase for the CompoGas facility, the franchise extension. So President Lucy signed that letter of support, and we transmitted it to the planning department today.
Okay. Late received written communication, 0.
That was it.
Yeah, okay. Jeff, are we going behind closed doors?
We are
no.
Not.
Okay. We're not going to do that. And so I would just like to adjourn in solidarity with our firemen who are up on the lines, firefighters, people who are in work camps, you know, everybody who is up fighting the fires to save our state. So thank you very much, and this meeting is adjourned.